Lisa Dominique was in radio for a while, then she took a break, and now she's back again. She's a very positive person who's worked with a lot of big names, and now she's a writer as well. I just want to start out with what's happening now, because you were out of radio for a long time, and how did you get into it again?
Yeah, I was out. I left in 1995 when I was on WLSFM with Robert Murphy. We were doing mornings, co-hosting a morning show. It was great. It was fun and was unfinished business. And in the back of my mind, I always felt that way. So I did leave for about 13 or so years. And it's just so interesting and meant to be that I'm back into radio, because I had run into Drew, I believe, in...
Drew Hayes.
Drew Hayes, the ops director here. And I'd run into him at an event, a Steve Dahl event, in, I believe this was 2000, I don't know, he was working at CKG, and he just, Steve was obviously on the air, and Gary, he'd just gotten Gary back, or he was working on getting Gary back, I don't remember, and he said, he looked at me, and his eyes were like saucers, and he goes, "Where the hell have you been? Where are you? I've been trying to get hold of you. I've been thinking of you for 4 months."
Why?
And I went, "What?
How did you score like that? I mean, that's incredible that somebody who's in management would be looking for you. Why was that?
Serendipity. I have no other way to explain it other than...
But why was he looking for you?
Oh, because he was bringing Gary back, or brought Gary back, and he was trying to coalesce everything.
Gary being Gary Meyer.
At CKG, and they were in the process still building that. And we kept in touch. He goes, "Get me your number. Here's my card. Call the office Monday. Give me all your info, blah, 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 blah." Okay, so I did. We sort of touched base, and he goes, "Just hang in there. Keep doing what you're doing." I said, "I can't keep doing what I'm doing for very long. I hate what I'm doing." And I was in corporate sales for a major telecom company, and I was making really good money, but I was miserable each and every day. In any event, I got back in because I saw, you know, Drew that day, and we kept in touch, and then... I called him after I saw the news about what happened with CKG, and I said, "Gee, guess that's not going to happen." He's like, "No, I guess not. Don't worry. Something else will come up." And I just kind of shelved it.
CKG disappearing.
Yeah, but he had my contact information. Well, then I kind of shelved it, and I started really seriously considering it, because I wanted to get out of my corporate telecom job I was in. And I started, I put out a website of my own. And my old program director from WTMX, Barry James, who is now the program director at Rewind 100.3, Bonneville, got my name and phone number.
When was this?
This was the summer of 2008. Because he heard I'd been interviewing at The Loop. Possibly Johnny was looking for somebody else, and maybe we would just get back together on the air. I don't know. It didn't work out, which was fine. But Barry calls me in August of 2008, says, "So, you're interviewing with everybody else around town. What the hell aren't you calling me?"
Wait, people must really love you, because they keep coming up to you.
I don't know, for a guy to say that, that's
a big deal.
That's sweet of you to say that. But
no,
yeah,
it's true, though.
I mean,
a lot of times people have to bang down doors to get management to pay attention.
Well, I've had to do that, too. I mean, and certainly I'll have to do that in the future, you know, as well. But I was fortunate to work with people who... I mean, Drew, this is the third time Drew and I have worked together here at WLSAM. Drew is very loyal. He's a very loyal person. And when he knows that you are committed to doing your best and working for him and doing what he wants you to do, which basically the guy's got a pretty good vision. He's got a good instinct. And same with Barry. Barry does not waste time with anybody that he thinks he can't, you know, get the best from. So that was a compliment. And I said, "Well, gosh, thanks, BJ. I appreciate it." And he goes, "Well, get on in here." And he wanted me to do some voice tracking. I said, "Nah, I don't want to go back to doing that." Because I'd done that in my very first jobs. You know, I'd done some voice tracking in California in the 80s. And he just wanted to get me working.
Does that work against you being an independent woman in radio?
Not with smart, intelligent, confident men.
Are they like that? The people you
work
with?
Some of them are, yeah. Some of them are very, some are also very insecure. And then it doesn't work as well, because they don't know how to work with, you know, the kind of woman who can bring some stuff to the table. And that's okay,
too. Why do you
think
that is?
Because I think that's the way how people are. I think we all have our strengths and weaknesses. But I have worked with a lot of big-time people and big-name guys, and it's been a joy. I mean, I can't say I've ever had a really awful experience, except for one in California where I was working with a guy who had a serious, you know, drug problem. And And that was really rough, you know. There have been some interesting experiences, though. So that's kind of how I got back in. Barry immediately said, well, you know what? Susan Winsek, the news director, is going to be taking some time off, and I'd like you to do morning news drive fill-in. And I said, awesome! So I started filling in the afternoon, or excuse me, the morning drive for Susan Winsek, and I did a lot of fill-in. And she was taking some extensive time off, and got right back into it. And from the moment the mic cracked, it was just like, boom.
Why did I leave? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why did I leave? I knew why I left, but wow, this feels just right. I'd had a really, really rough year. Romance, it went very, very bad. But I also got Harvey, my wonder dog, in my life, and things were on the way up, and I was making decisions about knowing I was going to financially make huge sacrifices because I made really good money for those 13 years. But boy, at what price? You know, the price of happiness and contentment and creative fulfillment.
Well, you mentioned your dog and
Harvey the Wonder Dog.
You got him just 2 years ago?
He was given to me as a Christmas present for December of 2007. Yeah.
And then how did you write your book from that? And what is your book called?
The Adventures of Harvey the Wonder Dog is the name of the series. The first book is Harvey the Hungry Dog because I basically wrote, I had so many observations about the first year of his life, and he's a crack up. He's a funny dog with a huge personality, and he's absolutely drop dead gorgeous. So people are drawn to him, but then they spend time around him and they actually feel good. But I wrote it because I was kind of healing from the
stuff that was
love affair that I had, you know, that went terribly south. And Harvey was a balm. He was my medicated balm, you know, and I just held him to my heart, and he helped heal me. And getting back into radio helped heal me, too. So,
how did you go from having a dog who was really great to actually writing a book?
I've always written. One of my greatest inspirations was Cheryl Lavin, who writes for the Tribune, actually, Tales from the Front, and she was my 7th grade English teacher. And I didn't even realize that she was doing that until I moved back to Chicago in 1989. I was in California for 10 years because my ex-husband and I lived there in Los Gatos, California. But I moved back and I opened the Tribune and I went, Mrs. Lavin! And I contacted her and she goes, well, what do you do now? You know, we kind of reconnected. But she gave me hope. She would read my stuff and just say, okay, try this style, try that style. You can do it. And wow, so I did. And I tried every weird style that she would throw at me and in our class. And I got a lot of confidence. And I had other English teachers at U of I, Champaign, where I went to school, who also, creative writers, who said, wow, this is really good. And that fomented really my drive, I think. You know, but I just sat down, I went, I'm going to write a book about this dog. He's the hungriest dog I've ever seen. I've never had a lab like this. And he inspired me, and my love for him, I don't have any, you know, children, so my love for him is like that of what somebody has for their own child. You know, I embrace him with my whole heart, and Labradors do that naturally. So, you know, it was good to have a buddy.
But how did you learn how to write children's style?
I read so much as a child, and I was read to so much as a young child. You know, I was kind of one of those library nerds, you know, I mean, I loved all my friends and I was very social, but wow, if I grabbed a moment to do anything else, it wasn't watching TV or anything, except for maybe, you know, Mayberry or something, you know, but I was reading anything I could get my hands on. You know, I think I read Catcher in the Rye when I was 8 years old and was completely horrified by that and The Good Earth, you know, by Pearl Buck. And I went, oh, I don't ever want to go to the Orient. They're going to make me smoke opium. You know? So I was very, my mind was formed in an early age, you know, by all the many things, all the in Dickens books and everything. So Little Women, Gone with the Wind. I was open. I mean, I was saying riboflavin when I was 3 because I was going, oh, cool, side of the, you know, cereal box. Just well, natural stuff.
When you were on the air, though, were you allowed to show your intelligence? Because obviously you're well-read, which is not necessarily always typical.
Yes, with most of my hosts encouraged that, or were at least appreciative. But when it maybe became a little, you know, intrusive, or sometimes if I got a couple too many laughs or, you know, a little bit too much, which, you know, I had to pull back because I knew it wasn't my show. It was their show. And, you know, the mic would go off maybe. When I worked with Stephen Gary, I used to do a lot of fill-in. I was doing Brandmeier's show mostly, but I fill in all the time with Kevin and Stephen Gary a lot doing news. And
Kevin Matthews.
Kevin Matthews, yeah. And, oh, my God, the synergy that the three of us had, it was palpable.
When was that?
That was when I was at Loop, so that was 89 to 92. And I did all the news fill-in and all the traffic fill-in, whenever they had, you know, so I would work with them, then I'd get up and do, you know, I was regular on Johnny's show doing traffic, and I also did all the news fill-in for Buzz, too, but cause I had all that background, so they knew they could rely on me.
So what was it like to work there during those years?
It was great.
I mean, were you assigned, so you just worked on these different shows, you weren't necessarily assigned to one show in particular?
Oh, no, I was hired for Johnny's show, and when Buzz went on, you know, took a vacation day or something, I said, well, just use me as fill-in. Actually, it was Greg Salk who was calling the shots then, Greg Salk, who is now with Bonneville, but he was running the Loop. He was the wunderkind, and that's for sure. He said, sure, you know, just figure it out and, you know, don't overstep, blah, blah, blah. You know what to do.
Don't overstep, you mean the role that you're given.
Right.
Did people do that before?
No, but he probably knew I had the potential.
Well, you obviously have a big personality. I mean, you have like a very bright, bubbly personality, so it must have been hard to rein it in.
Yes. It often is, you know, but... Oh, well, you know, you've got your role. You have to, you do what you're supposed to, what you're hired to do. So I had a great time. And so Greg said, well, just we'll use you for everybody. So I did all the news fill-in for all three shows and all the traffic fill-in. And it was great extra money and it was great exposure. And I got to work with all these great guys.
Yeah, what are they like that you can talk about for this podcast?
They're pretty much exactly how they are. Johnny off air, you know, nobody ever spent any time really with him off air. I mean, really nobody, not even Jimmy Weiser. He probably spent the most, but Johnny's sort of just who he is. He's very dedicated.
So he was private.
Very private, and will always remain so because that's just who he is.
So he's an entertainer, and he does his job very well, but then when the mic is off, it doesn't translate to off the air.
Well, I think he just wants to keep everything private. Without going into any kind of psychoanalysis of him, I think that that's just how he wants it, and I respect that. That's fine, you know? Really, I was just there for the job, and that's fine. He was always very nice to me. He made it clear to me at one point that, yeah, it was his show. So I knew, you know, one of the private talks that we did have. But I respect his talent enormously, and it was a lot of fun.
What is it about his talent that you respect so much?
Back then, the contagious enthusiasm, I think, that he exuded, and his ability to be spontaneous and go with it. You know, that's rare. You know,
the stuff came out of his head. He didn't write it down or anything.
I don't know. I wasn't in his studio. He always worked alone. You know, he was alone in that studio. But boy, I think he just went with whatever, and that was part of the magic, I think, because he could go with whatever. And, you know, not everybody can do that. But that's pretty great, you know. Kevin's just, he's still an enigma to me.
Kevin Matthews
is still an enigma. He's a nice guy. He gave me, when I lost my dog, Prunella, on the air, one of our dogs that we brought from California, Prunella, got lost. Johnny tried to help me find it. Kevin ended up giving me his dog. His and his wife's dog, they wanted to get rid of her, which I found out later is because she had a really bad tinkling problem. But she was a wonderful basset hound, Lily. And Kevin was very kind to me always, and we got along fine, you know? It was fun. It was fun. I was really different working with him than anybody else.
How are you
else.
Different?
The pace of his show was very laid back. You know, I really had to dial it down to not be over the, you know, just... Because I was used to doing mornings and being, you know, just myself, for the most part. And you just had to moderate yourself with the pace of that show.
Yeah, because I've heard your air checks, and my gosh, like talking to you now, you have so much energy, but the air checks are like soft and easy. So obviously you had to really restrain yourself.
Well, you have to follow the pace of the show. They own the show. You have to do what you do and be yourself to a degree.
But how did you know when to talk and when not to talk?
Was it just timing or something?
Okay.
Yeah, you have to feel it, and you learn from screwing up, you know, and having them, hey, you know, you can feel it. A lot of it's instinct. You kind of have to listen to what that person says and what they do and try to do what you think they want and try to do what you want, too, to satisfy yourself and not compromise yourself. I will never, ever work ever again with anybody who asks me to compromise my intelligence.
Can you give an example?
No.
I mean, well, what's an abstract example of a compromise that a woman can encounter?
Oh, to be a laugh machine? Forget it. I mean, I didn't even do that when I was 22. I'm not going to do that certainly now. If that's all you have to offer and that's what you're hired for, great. Okay, Robin Quivers did it, and she turned it into something wonderful. Yeah, that was also, 30 years ago? So, no.
When you're faced with that kind of dilemma, you know, people requesting you to dumb down or expecting that of you, how can you say that you're not going to do that yet stay employed? I mean, how can you not compromise?
Well, I don't know. I mean, as I've only been back doing
the
radio.
In the past, though.
In the past, I just didn't. And I was just not maybe utilized as much, or I maybe didn't get a certain job that I might have.
So how did you feel about that? It was fine?
Yeah, it's fine by me. I have a lot of other things I can do. I mean, I am an author. I'm going to continue to write. I'm becoming more of a serious blogger. I don't know what I'll do with that, but that's allowing me to express my creative side. Lisa Dominique, blogspot.com.
LisaDominique.blogspot.com, and it's L-I-S-E.
Oh, right, yeah. I know my name is really hard to spell. But if you go to my website, which is LisaDominique.com, L-I-S-E, Dominique.com, you can get links to just about anything.
And you also have a Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, and so does Harvey, Harvey Dominique. And he has his own website, too, AdventuresOfHarveyTheWonderDog.com. But it's been just great to be back. I mean, after I started doing the fill-in on what was called Love FM or whatever, now Rewind 100.3, then I think it was actually the deposed people now at WGN who I contacted them, and they put me in as fill-in. And the first thing they did, Kevin, actually Matheny, the now deposed, you know, PD.
Who's the most popular podcast even now.
I know, right? You did a great job. I listened. Oh,
thank you. Well, and I'm on the record, and he knows this. I really appreciate him doing it because I knew that it would probably be a big firestorm.
Yeah.
But it is the most popular podcast.
I have no doubt. I mean, oh gosh. Well, he and I had been in contact, and we had met once, and then he called me up. He goes, or no, we hadn't even met face to face. And I said, well, why don't you use me for some of these fill-ins before I know you're looking for somebody to hire for the afternoons. And he goes, okay, how about tomorrow? I was like, well, okay, you have Jerry, I guess.
See,
Jerry
for him
Springer?
To say that, he has to really believe in your talent.
Oh, really?
I cannot get over all these management people who are just so open to you. I mean, this really makes me think differently about things.
Oh, thank you. That's really, thank you. That's
because seriously,
kind
if you talk
to
a lot of people in the business, they are so negative and hopeless, and it just seems like there are possibilities.
Oh, I think there are. And when you love what you do, I think those possibilities open up.
Okay, so anyway, so Matheny said start tomorrow. So did you start tomorrow? Start the next day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, oh, so you have Jerry on this week. And he said, yeah. I said,
Jerry
okay.
Agar?
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer?
Yeah. And so,
wow, that was a long time ago. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was 2007. This was before they were trying to get Gary Meyer to sign on the dotted line. But they were auditioning people. And Jerry, they just had Gary on the week before, and I wanted to be on with him, but we didn't connect. And then he goes, well, come on in tomorrow. It's like, okay, sure, I'll be there. What time? I get here at 10, so you guys can talk about stuff and, you know, brainstorm about the show. And I said, sure. I showed up. We went on the air. We were like peanut butter and jelly, you know? I mean, it was just...
What's he like?
He's great. He was hysterical. And I told him flat out, I said, just so you know, I know whatever I've heard or read about you, I've never once watched your show more than 5 minutes because I thought it was repugnant.
What did he say to that?
He laughed and he goes, good, I like you even more.
Oh, because you're honest.
I think he even said that.
So he really didn't mind that
oh,
you were
God.
So?
No, he didn't care. He literally said, oh, I like it even more that you don't like my show. He goes, you know, you're smart.
That's incredible.
He was really wonderful, and we had a great time. And we were only on together for 2 days because it was the end of his week, and really coalesced. Unfortunately, then he moved to everything to Connecticut, and much of the other shows went.
Why didn't you stay at GN, WGN?
Well, I mean, I was just offered fill-in, you know, so I did fill-in.
Okay.
And then I did a couple... More of fill-in with another gentleman whose name escapes me. I was on with him for, isn't that terrible, like a week or so. And they eventually didn't hire him, but he was a very nice guy out of Kansas City or something. And then Kevin and I met, and I you know, it just didn't evolve, you know. It just didn't happen.
So how did you get to WLS?
Well, I was doing a lot of fill-in on 100.3, Rewind 100.3, and at that time, I was starting to get very involved with putting my book together. I got a call from the management here last year at this time saying, listen, we'd like you to hire you to do some fill-in. Tracy Slutskin and the gentleman who was the program director before, beginning over the Christmas holidays. I said, great. But what he and Tracy told me was that we were asking Drew Hayes, who was over at BBM at the time, and he said, get Lisa to do the fill-in. You guys need fill-in. She's great. And I was just taken aback.
That's incredible.
And I said, you have no idea. You telling me what a gift that is. That's so nice. And thank you for sharing that with me. That's a real boost. Well, then it got all caught up, and he eventually was displaced by Drew, who came in.
Well, I want to go back to who you worked with. So you worked with Stephen Gary, you've worked with Johnny B, and you worked with Kevin Matthews, and you worked with Robert Murphy.
Yes.
What was Robert Murphy like?
Fantastic. Absolutely a gentleman. Witty, urbane, funny, so...
And what station was that on?
That was on WLS-FM. After I left The Loop, which was in 1992, actually Drew hired me to do fill-in on WLS-AM. And then I was hired at WTMX, so I was doing both of them. And he said, well, you know, I can't offer you anything full-time yet. So then they hired me full-time, WTMX. And then Drew hired me back, and he goes, hey, I want you to come on over here. We're looking at a couple other people. And, you know, I can't tell you who your co-host would be, but and I walked in and it was Murphy. And I went, oh, awesome. I'd never even heard one of Murph's shows because I was always on opposite him because I was on with Johnny. So I just sort of heard of his style. But I knew he was an intelligent guy who really, at his core, loves and respects women.
Really?
I thought, he does. He really does. And he gave me free reign.
So he respects his mom, too?
Oh, very much. He loves his mommy. As much as, you know, you see him with every blonde with big hair around, that's his physical preference. But I've met a lot of these women that he was dating, and they weren't stupid. The bottom line was he was good to me. And I loved what we were doing, and we were just starting to gain momentum. And then, you know, the axe fell, and it was just kind of like,
I mean, how do you deal with that when
I didn't deal with that one well. I got a very serious case of depression. I was a year out of a divorce. I was in big financial trouble. You know, I was out of a job. Yeah, I was standing on the 18th hole, just getting ready to take a shot. And my pager went off, and I borrowed my friend's cell phone because I don't think I even had one at the time. This is 1995. And I called, and Drew's like, oh, good news is you don't have to get up at, you know, 2:30 in the morning on Monday. I'm like, and the bad news is the rumors are true. He goes, yeah.
Wow.
And I went cold, and I just walked off the course, and I went, what am I going to do?
I mean, how do you deal with those ups and downs in general?
It was hard. It was hard, and I guess that's what probably kept me in sales, which is tough enough, but I was, whatever reason, I was good at it and I was making, you know, excellent money. That's what kept me in sales, knowing that I was more in control of the ups and downs, you know, and I needed to be. And I got out of debt, and I took fabulous trips all around the world and did things that I'd always dreamed about because I had the means to do it.
Feel free to contact me to let me know what you think. You can contact me at margaret@radiogirl.us. You can also go to the Radio Girl Facebook page to contact me there and to find out more information about what's coming up. We'll see you next week.